Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 together. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll pray, and we're going to jump right into the message this evening. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Now, Holy Spirit, help us to listen. Help us to listen to these, your words. Help us to listen to your man. Lord, though I am feeble and I am no different than anyone else, you and I have spent to get time together this week and many, many, many years gone by for this truth. I pray that you'd help us. Help us to walk out understanding it a little bit better, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Recently, I have been through probably, and I'm going to use borrow a term I used last Sunday. I've been through a season of difficult situations. I long to help people. I live to help people. I hope someday you never feel like you can't call preacher because you have a problem because you don't want to burden me. It bothers me when you don't call me. I mean that. I literally mean that. You say, "Well, I know you got so much on your plate." I live to help people. But I'll be honest with you. When I can't fix a problem, it hurts. I don't know how else to say that. When I can't fix somebody's problem, or I can't help get to the end of it, or I know there's no end to it that's positive, that's rough. That's hard on me. I wish I could tell you I could fix everything, but I'm not God. I wished I could tell you I've done no wrong, but I'd be lying to say that. I wished I could tell you I always have the answer. But I'm not going to lie to you. The longer I live, the more pain, the more grief that I go through, I realize there are some words that are used that sometimes are what I call empty words. They're words that feel very empty. Listen to what I mean here. Did you know that just saying, "I'm sorry," does not fix anything? It doesn't. Now, I'm not saying, boys and girls, we should not say those words. Husbands and wives, I'm not saying we should not use those words. Parents, I'm not saying we should not use those words. Pastor and people, I'm not saying we should not use those words. It's okay, Brother Chris, go ahead. You're fine. Let's all watch him. He's embarrassed right now, all right? His shirt turned red. I'm not sure if his face did, but... All right, look back this way. They're going to look at you anyway, Chris. I might as well have made the best of it, amen? Listen to me. The words "I'm sorry" alone do not fix anything. You know, if... Uh-oh, I got to turn this thing on here. If... I got it on. Testing, 1, 2, 3. We're dead as a hammer. That's okay. I'll go without it, brother. If you drop it, you pay for it. That's okay. Just hold on to it, Brett. I'll stay right here. If Brother Stoltz had a glass and he handed it to me and I did not secure it real well and I dropped it, you know that I could not fix that glass. It would shatter. if I said, "Oh, Brother Stoltz, I'm sorry," he may accept the fact that I was sorry, but the glass is still broke. So my saying, "I'm sorry," does not fix the broken glass. It may be that if he handed it to me and said, "Brother Stoltz, I didn't want this," and I threw it down and broke it. Say, "Oh, you did that on purpose." I may have even done it on purpose. And I could say, "I'm sorry," but "I'm sorry" does not fix that. I can say, "I'm sorry," all day long, but it won't fix anything. You see, it's never going to restore what happened. It may show that in my heart there was not malicious intent, but it doesn't fix the problem. Does that make sense to everybody? I recently have dealt with some older veterans in their death and in their dying process and different things. And I've dealt with a lot of things like this before. There are some, and I find it more in people who have been in battle. And I mean actually out in the battlefield. Their family will tell you they never say, "I'm sorry." Never. Now let me help you with something. I think I know why. They don't say, "I'm sorry," because they know how empty those words really are. When you've been shoulder to shoulder in a foxhole with somebody and your buddy gets his head blown off with a bullet and he's dying in your arms, you can say, "I'm sorry," to him all you want, but it's not going to bring him back. You can look down the barrel of your weapon at the enemy and pull the trigger to defend yourself and to defend your country. And in your mind, you're saying, "I'm sorry that I have to do this," but it's not going to change the end result. And you find out very often that someone who's been through those difficult battle-type situations, they don't say, "I'm sorry." A lot of times, instead of saying, "I'm sorry," they'll go out and buy flowers, chocolate, a knick-knack, and replace those words with an action. Can I tell you why? They'd rather live their "I'm sorry" than just say words that mean nothing. They would rather replace it with something that is tangible, that says, "Here is proof of my sorrow. Here is proof that my intent was good," not just words that mean nothing. Now, listen to me very carefully here. If you would sit where I sit, you'd understand what I mean. You sit with people who've just been given the news that their loved one has hours or days to live. Saying "I'm sorry" doesn't help it. It doesn't. You sit with me when the family tells you that it's cancer. Got a couple months left with mom or dad or this person or that person. And all the love in your heart wants to say, "I'm sorry." But what good's it going to do? It's not going to fix it. It's not going to take the cancer away. It really isn't. You sit with me in my office, and a teenage girl has to tell her mommy and daddy, who's not married, that she's pregnant. And "I'm sorry" doesn't fix any of it. Or a teenage boy's got to tell his parents that he's gotten a young lady pregnant and they're not married. "I'm sorry" doesn't fix it. The pain is still there. The action is irreversible. Listen to me. You sit with a couple who are having financial troubles, and I work very hard at helping people financially. And sometimes you get in a hole that's almost impossible to get out. And I say, "Look, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry doesn't take the debt away. We got to work our way out of it." By the way, somebody's going to have to stand up in America to our government and tell them, we can't just keep spending. We got to be able to pay our way out of this. You sit with me when a wife sits in my office and says, "My husband just took off. I'm not sure if he's coming back. I've got children. I can look at that lady and say, I'm sorry, but it's not going to fix it. You sit with me as people tell you how people have treated them badly because of who they are, or that they are Christians, and how they've been treated because of where they go to church or how they believe or whatever it is. And can I tell you something? I'm sorry doesn't take that pain away, does it? The words I'm sorry in those times don't fix anything. About 4 or 5 times in the last couple weeks, I've had to look at people and say, as your pastor, I feel like I'm failing you. Because your problem can't be fixed. They're going to pass. I can't keep them alive for you. Do you know how that feels? Last night, the family asked me to pray that Norman passed quickly. Have you ever had to pray over somebody and say, God, take their life soon? I got done praying that and I looked up and said, folks, just so you know, that's one of the hardest things I ever have to pray in my life. I don't know about you, when you're asking the creator of the universe to take life that he gave, that's not easy. Now, wait a minute. The words I'm sorry are empty without action. Here in Matthew 27, we find something very interesting. I'm going to use a caricature that in Scripture that you might find you disagree with me at first. But we have the story of Judas Iscariot. I'm convinced by Scripture that Judas was a lost man who died and went to hell. Yes. He was the son of perdition. Right. Judas did not get saved, just so you know. Right. But I believe Jesus loved Judas. I think I can go a step farther. I really think Judas loved Jesus as much as a lost person can love somebody. Judas took money from the Roman soldiers and the Roman government to capture and crucify Jesus. Here's what may surprise you. I think he was sorry. Say, how do you know? He brought the money back. I think he took the money back when he realized what he had done and said, if I give you the money back, will you let him go? Now, the Bible says this is where people think Judas may have gotten saved, that he repented, threw down the money, and went out and hanged himself. The word repent there was he changed his mind about keeping the money. Judas was sorry for what he did, but he did not do what Jesus asked him to do and get saved. That repentance was not a salvation repentance. He changed his mind about keeping the money in the betrayal. Now listen to me. Say, how do you know he was sorry for what he did? He went out and committed suicide. Now wait a minute. Judas was despondent enough to commit suicide. He was trying to pay his own price, but he still wasn't sorry. He was sorry for what he had done, but it didn't come to action. His actions did not show it. Now, let me say this right here. I do not believe that Judas was a hero. I don't believe that Judas is anything more than a disloyal, reprobate, filled by the devil human being, just so you know. But I do believe that Judas said, I'm sorry for what he had done, but they were empty, vain words. By the way, listen to this statement. Do you realize that every last one of the disciples were shocked that it was Judas that had betrayed Jesus? Jesus. You remember they all said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? They were all surprised at the fact that it was Judas Iscariot. See, they were shocked. None of the disciples expected it to be Judas. None of the disciples said, I'll bet it's Judas. I'll bet it's Judas. Probably more people thought it was Thomas than Judas. Doubting Thomas? No one was able to see that one coming. Now, I do think he was sorry, but his actions did not match his sorrow. His sorrow was empty. The drunk driver who crosses the center line and kills a baby and stands in court, and a mama and a daddy of a dead baby stand in court, and the drunk driver looks up and says, I'm sorry, those words are vain. They're vain. All the sorrow in the world will not bring that baby's life back. You see, they're empty words. They're vain words. Let me help you. I really only have 3 points tonight. And they'll go quickly. Words, number one, spoken but not acted upon, are empty words. Words spoken but not acted upon are really empty words. Did you know that the words, I love you, with no action, are empty words? 26 years ago. A little over 26 years ago. I stood at the college, and my wife and I had been dating probably more than that, probably closer to 27 years ago, I guess. Maybe 27 years in January. And I looked at her and I said, Debbie, I'm going to say something to you right now, but it'll take me a lifetime to prove it. I love you. Say, what did she say? Nothing. She turned around and walked away. And for the next 48 hours, I didn't know what was going on. Found out later, she called her mom and she said, what'd you say, Debbie? She said, nothing. I don't know what to say. She said, get back there to him. God for my mother-in-law. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I still mean the words I said to her almost 27 years ago. I love you. Do you know it's taken me 27 years to prove it? It's taken me more than I'd pay for it. But now, wait a minute. Those words by themselves are empty. Daddy, when you look at your kids and say, I love you, it's one thing, but they want action, not just words. Child spells love T-I-M-E. They want some of you. They don't want to just hear the words. Are you doing okay? I know some of you tough guys. I told my wife I loved her and told her I'd let her know if I ever changed my mind. Well, that's real good, isn't it? See, you don't want to have to live those words. Parents, children, you tell your mama and daddy you love them by how you obey them. Man, my kids used to get hurt at me. They'd disobey and I'd say, you hate me. No, I don't. Yes, you do. You hate your mama. No, I don't, daddy. Yes, you do. You hate me. No, I said, if you loved us, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if love is keeping the rules, if you break the rule, you hate us. No, I do. Yes, you do. Oh, man. Say, you were a cruel parent. Yes. I wanted my kids to realize there was more to I love you than just saying words. You, ladies, I'm going to use a hunting illustration. It will not be gory. It might tenderize you just a little. Okay? So hang in there. Both of my boys shot deer at very young ages. I think one was 10, the other was 11, maybe 12. When they killed their first deer by themselves, we walked up to it, made sure it was dead, of course. And the first thing I did was say, touch it. shake it. Pick it up by the head. Why? I said, just do it. They did. I said, is there any life in it? No, sir. You just killed that animal. And when that animal is, you know, 2 and 3 times the size of the person that shot it, you know, when they're only that tall, it makes a pretty big impact. And I'd look at him and say, tell it I'm sorry. And they'd look at me, I said, just tell it you're sorry. And they'd say it. What'd you do that for, Dad? I said, did it bring it back to life? No, sir. That's why you never point a gun at anybody. Ever. Because as soon as you pull that trigger, you cannot get that bullet back. And no matter how many times you say, I'm sorry, you'll never get that life back. Ever. That's how I train my boys, just so you know. To me, taking an animal's life was important. It was more than just, man, I did it. Yeah, there's a little bit of that to it, but there's something more to it than that. My kids didn't grow up with toy guns because I couldn't stand I hardly can stand water guns being pointed at me. I've fired so many real weapons, I don't like toy guns. So you're weird. Okay, I'm weird, but I don't think guns ought to be played with. They're a weapon. That's just the way I am. I'm not mad at you if you do. Just don't point it at me. I just believe that way. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make a statement here. I have never made this statement in public. I'm not sure I ever thought this statement before. But this one will change your life. Did you know that not one time on the cross did Jesus ever say, I love you? But his actions did. Not one time he said 7 things on the cross. Not one of them was, I love you. Not one. Wow. He put action to his words. See, I'm sorry without change or comfort is empty. You know, when you hurt your children, when you disappoint your children, they don't just want a trinket or a toy because you missed an appointment. They want you. I spend time with my wife, my daughter. There's sometimes my job dictates that we change when we do something. And there's times I've had things scheduled and said, I really can't break this, but I will make it up to you. Can I tell you something? I make it up to them. I don't just say it. My daughter's birthday's coming up. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that one. So is Mrs. Eckerd's too, by the way. But Wednesday, they're birthday buddies, I think. And Wednesday's my daughter's birthday. She doesn't even know yet what I got planned. Can I tell you something? I'm careful because I'm not always sure what my schedule is. Now, it seems sometimes like it's last minute, but it's not. I've been working on it. Huh. I'm sorry without changing what you do does not fix anything. Judas said, I'm sorry by bringing the money back, but Judas did not change what he was, went out and tried to pay the price for his own sin himself. So his I'm sorry to Jesus was vain, it was empty, because he did not change what he was. Sir, you say something mean to your wife, but you don't change doing it ever again. Can I tell you something? Those words become vain. Parents, don't get mad at me. You do that one more time, and I'm going to... They've heard it so many times, it's vain. They've heard it so many times, it's vain. Put action to the words. I better get moving here. Those words are nice. They sound warm and squishy, but they don't fix anything. I think if a brother and a sister, or a brother and a brother, or a sister and a sister get in an argument, I think it's okay to tell them that they need to tell each other they're sorry, to one another. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but just so you know, them saying I'm sorry doesn't stop the argument. How many of you ever argued with a brother or sister after you said I'm sorry? Okay? Yeah. Some of you are still arguing with them, and it's 40 years later, amen? Number two, all of us are sinners, and we fail each other, and we fail God. Did you catch that? All of us are sinners, and we all fail each other, and we all fail God. I know I've said this several times today. Your pastor is a sinner. Now, I've not gone out and committed adultery or anything else. I am not doing anything like that, trust me. But I have pride issues. I have sins in my life that I am not happy with, and I'm trying to fix them, just so you know. But guess what? There's no nail prints in those hands. If you find out someday your preacher's a sinner, Brother Taylor found out from some woman when we were two women in Tennessee. They said, well, your preacher's a sinner. He said, yeah, no, he tells us all the time. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to. I don't want my sin to cause you hurt. But can I tell you something? Sometime I'm probably going to hurt you, and I'm sorry. But I'll let my actions prove that, just so you know. You know, we'll have to make those we love make decisions we don't like, and we're going to have to agree to not like the decision. Do you know, sometimes in child rearing, my wife and I did not agree with each other. I know that's hard to believe. There's sometimes she actually thought I was wrong, Brother Brining. I was shocked. I thought she was a better woman than that. You know what? Sometimes we had to agree to disagree, and then when we found out we were wrong, we go back and we go fix it. Did you know that sometimes you're not going to agree with me on how to resolve a situation? You might come to me and have a dispute with somebody, and the preacher might not side with you all the way you think I should. But can I tell you something? Let's just agree to accept it, go on, and go from there. I hate to tell you this. You're never going to have a perfect fix because you don't live in a perfect world. You don't. Somebody told me they were looking for a church that had never been a separation in any way of any other church in history. I said, well, you're never going to go to a Baptist church because they all go back to Jesus, and they've been splitting since Acts chapter 8, just so you know. And that was the one Jesus started. You see, we're not God. We can't judge everybody else's sin. By the way, you can't judge their motive. I preached a sermon on that a few weeks ago, if you remember. Quit trying to worry. Let me show you something. I'm going to throw about a two-minute fit right here, okay? That's why this garbage of repentant salvation is stupid. Oh, you have to show sorrow for your sin. Repentance does not mean sorrow. How sorry do you have to be before you get forgiven? How much sorrow, and who is the judge of sorrow? Repentance is not sorrow. Repentance is a change of direction. It is an action saying, I was going that way, I was doing that, that didn't work, I'm going to go that way. Repentance is the action. Sorrow is an intent. Now, listen to me very carefully. Judas repented, but he did not get saved. God repented of the evil. I think it's 11 different times. Don't quote me to that. But several different times in the Old Testament, the Bible says God, the Lord, repented of the evil which he thought to do unto the children of Israel. God wasn't a sinner in need of salvation. Therefore, repentance itself does not mean salvation. You can repent of something other than for salvation. And let me finish here. We need to prove our words by our actions. We need to prove our words by our actions. Listen to me. You know, you can say I love you, but why don't you start living it? You can say I love you, but why don't you start living it? Brother Ron, Thursday, you went with me to the hospital. Saturday, Brother Mark, you went with me to the hospital. I met a family Thursday morning from New Hampshire. You know, they're New Englanders. Hardcore New Englanders. Harley hog riding New Englanders. We're talking, they're almost as bad as Northern Minnesotans. They're just like my wife's side of the family. I knew exactly what I was dealing with the moment I saw them. And I knew there was some contention. They had never met a real pastor in their whole life. They said, oh, the father was here just a little while ago. I said, well, I'm not the father. I said, there's only three that call me that. They were a little standoffish, weren't they, Brother Ron? Oh, in just a little while, though, I started loving on them, started talking to them. Went back Friday, talked to them again. That day I said, folks, this might sound strange to you. We've just met, but I just want you to know, me and my church, we love you. I'm not sure those people have ever been told that by a pastor in their life. By the time we got there last night, we walked in. We were met in the hallway by this guy and another one of the family. And man, they've hugged me, everything else. It's great. Say, what was it? They've never met somebody that knew how to love them God's way. This guy's wife said, Brother Mark was with me. She said, can't you come to New Hampshire and pastor? I said, no. I said, I hope I'd have church members upset if I did that. I said, no, I'm not going. He said, well, we got deer up there. I said, the will of God's more important than a deer to me. That's exactly what I said, isn't it, Brother Mark? And by the way, the will of God is more important than a deer. If I never shot another deer the rest of my life, I'd rather be in the will of God. I don't ever have to walk into another tree stand to be happy. Say why? God's been good to me. I'm in the middle of His will. That's the will of God for me. Now listen to me. I was leaving just before deacon's meeting to come over here. And as I walked out, Brian said, Pastor Bush, thank you. He said, we've never been a part of anything like this. We've learned so much. We only regret we didn't meet you a long time ago. Maybe life would have been a little different. I said, it can be different from here on out. And then he said, I know you're busy, but could you come back? I said, I'll be here. I'll be here. He looked at the man's wife and said, Sally, I'm not sure I ever met anybody that knows how to love like that man does. She said, it's because he knows a God that knows how to love. She said, that's what you call godly love. Whew. I don't know about you. I'm not lifting me up. I'm just saying we got a good God. You know, if you want to love somebody, you have to be interested in their wants. I have one son that loves guns. Oh, he loves guns. He loves guns. My son, Jeff, I'm not sure how many guns he's bought and sold and bought and sold in the last 6 months. Probably he's bought and sold about 9 different guns in the last 6 months. Every time I call him, he's got a new one. Well, how'd you get that? Oh, I sold this one and got 2 for that one. And I got this and I, hey, Dad, what about, hold on, dude. He said, well, I'm making money on each one of them. You know, he's got a little Jewish blood in him somewhere. Oh, wait a minute. I've got another one. He likes plinking with them, but that's not what his life's all about. his interest is his bus route and other things. Now, Jeff's working on a route and all that kind of stuff, but I got one that loves to hunt. Got another one. If it's available, great. And if not, that's okay too. I know what their interests are. I know what my daughter's interests are. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I know what my wife likes. I know what she doesn't like. And I try to avoid those things. You know, there are times I do things that I don't want to do. I do things they want to do. My daughter, I said something to her the other day. So, what do you want for your birthday? She said, I don't know. I thought, man, that's a good answer. She said, what do you want for yours? I said, good night, that's 7 months away. Who cares? I said, I don't want nothing. About a couple hours later, she comes back. She said, Dad, I know what I want for my birthday. I thought, okay, how much is this one going to cost me? She said, I want a big hug. Now, she might get it at 4:30 in the morning when I wake her up. She might not want it when I give it to her, but I'm going to give it to her, amen? Now, wait a minute. There's times she'll say, Daddy, what do you want? I said, I want what you want. What do you want right now? Well, can we? Yeah. Well, I know this isn't. It's okay. Let's do what you want. You know, there are times I do what they want, even though it's not what I want to do. Say why? That says I love you. You know, you say I'm sorry not by lying. You say I'm sorry by telling mom and dad the truth, whether it helps you or hurts you. You can get caught in your lie and get in trouble. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You say that so you don't get paddled as much. You're not sorry for what you did. You're sorry you got caught. If you would learn to tell the truth, you wouldn't have to be sorry. You would let telling the truth be your sorrow. Girls, ladies, your attitude. Did you know young ladies can have a bad attitude? And not so young ladies can have a bad attitude. Right, Ellen? I used to joke about this. Boys, they'll look at you and they don't give a flip. They'll tell you what they're going to do, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. They're just going to do it in front of you and say, okay, I'll take my beating for it. One of my boys one day looked at my mom and dad. We were at their house visiting. Said, Grandma, after I go get my spanking, can we do this? He already knew he's going to get in trouble. I won't tell you which one it was. You can guess. Now, wait a minute, that's a boy. Now, a girl, man, they can get mean, nasty, attitude, roll the eyes. Ooh, hang on. You roll them eyes, I'm going to slap them back the other side of your head. Now, wait a minute, our attitudes. Did you know your anger speaks volumes? I'm gonna tell on myself. I can be very patient with everybody outside the walls of my house, but being patient with my own three kids was awful hard. I could put up with everybody else's kids doing wrong but mine. And man, did that bother me. God convicted me. My wife convicted me. I had to work real hard at it. It was real easy. I have never yelled at you. I have yelled at my kids. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. Can I tell you something? I had to work at it. My daughter will tell you. I don't yell. I got it under control. Now, it took a long time. But I had to control me. Say why? Because I was not going to let... One day the Lord convicted me and said, why are you patient with somebody else's children doing the same thing? I had to go back to my kids individually and say, Dad's been wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm going to do better. Will you help me? You got to go to a child and say, I was wrong. Now, I wasn't wrong for when I did it. I was wrong for how I did it. And by the way, if you're a child saying, oh, I can't wait for my dad to do that. I can't wait for my mom to do that. You need to get at this altar and get yourself right with God. That attitude needs fixed in your life. Your pride is too big. Everybody doing all right? I love this church. I give my life to this church. My wife will tell you, I eat, breathe, and try to sleep this church. I don't sleep much. I'll be honest with you. The Lord convicted me this week. He did. We were at the Titanic Museum. Brother and Mrs. Ecker bought a book for me about one of the Baptist preachers on board that ship. He was a soul winning pastor. John Harper. Man, I read that book. Got on my knees at my desk. I just added 8 hours a week visiting and soul winning to my schedule this week. And from every week now on. On top of what I'm already doing. I'm adding 8 more hours. Say why? I'm going to prove to this church I love you. I'm going to prove it. I was convicted. Now, I win souls. I go out soul winning. I make a lot of visits. But I'm adding 8 hours a week to this. You say, why? Because I want to prove my love. I don't just want to get up and say, go do it. I'm going to be out there in the trenches. Say, when are you going? Just give me a holler. I'll go. I've got it organized, got it running, got things going, office work's handled. My secretary's far better than me. Amen? And we got this thing moving. Guess what? It's time to get out, get in the trenches. I felt convicted and prove my love. Now, it's not a matter of I'm not going soul winning. I'm just adding a bunch of it. Say why? Because that's what it's going to take. We are in the end days, folks. I'm not just saying, I'm doing it. Took Brother Ron out for 4 hours this week, was out for a couple hours yesterday with Brother Mark. I've been out at other times this week. I was out Tuesday night. I'm going to add 2 hours a day, 4 days a week. Folks, I've been living on maybe taking a half day off every week. I usually take about 3 or 4 hours off on Tuesday afternoons. That's it. There's coming a day where I'm going to have to take a little more off for my wife and my children. But I'm not going to change how many hours I put in. I'm not going to cheat you. I'll rework it. I'm not afraid of work. Check it out. I was here at a little after 5:30 this morning. I'm not afraid of it. I promise you. But I just decided it's time to put feet to those prayers, get out there and bang on more doors and get as many people as I personally can. Say why? I want to prove it. I want to prove to a lost and dying world that God's way is the right way. I want to prove God. I do. I want to prove to you that I love you. I'm going to be visiting your house. I'll be there. Now, it might not be this week. So, when are you coming? I don't know yet. Okay, start cleaning now. I know you women too well. Miss Debbie, put the Clorox away. God knows on Mondays and Fridays you can't walk in this building without a mask on. Rick Hess should never be sick because there can't be a germ survive that much Clorox. He has stock in the Clorox company. I had a delivery person come in after Debbie had gone one afternoon. He said, good night. He said, this place smells like a Clorox bottle. I said, wait till you walk in the bathroom. He came out. He said, man, you could eat off those commodes in there. I said, I wouldn't suggest it, but it's cleaner than most people's plates, I'll promise you. I said, it's not one of those things I would recommend, but you're right, you could. Now, I still wouldn't suggest it. But may I say this? I just believe in it enough. I want to prove it. I want to prove it. I spend a lot of time in this book. I'm not going to cheat God. I'm not going to cheat you. I spend a lot of time praying for you. I'm not going to change it. But I'm going to add to some of my schedule. I'm going to rework it. Say why? I want to prove it. Let me ask you a question. Are the words you say vain? Are they empty? Or are you going to prove it? Mom, dad, husband, wife, boy, girl, Christian. You tell God you love him. Have you proven it? What are you doing to prove it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Vain words. I'm sorry. I love you. How about we let our actions meet our words? I'm not saying don't use the words, but let's let our actions speak louder than the words.